The agreement, we think, is an agreement.
OK, Rhona Fairhead, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Now, from broadcasting to the press, and the latest round in the seemingly endless cat-and-mouse struggle between Fleet Street, if I might still call them that, and the celebrities who fill so many column inches and these days sidebars of shame or fame about personal privacy. The Sun on Sunday had a story about a celebrity couple with children, wherein it is said one partner committed adultery, including a threesome with another couple. The Sun's argument was that by exposing the true nature of the relationship, which, they said, was starkly at odds with the publicly promoted image, they were doing a public service. The couple sought an injunction and lost, but on appeal they won, and the Sun was injuncted to prevent it publishing the story. Since when, leader columns and articles in The Sun, including one by Tory MP Jacob Rees-Mogg, and articles in most of the rest of the press, have raised questions about whether the court, or The Sun on Sunday, was right. In a moment we'll hear from two top media lawyers, Sara Mansouri from Matrix Chambers, and Mark Stevens, currently in New York. But first I spoke to Dominic Ponsford, editor of the UK Press Gazette. I started by asking him why Fleet Street is troubled by this particular injunction.
Well, I think certainly the concern at the red top end of the market is that they feel rather strongly that they should be able to report true things about famous people, even if those true things are rather uncomfortable or embarrassing for them.
But surely we've moved on from simply doing that to an environment where it's accepted broadly, even by Ipso and the press regulator itself, that, and the editor's code, that people do have a right to privacy.
Yeah, exactly. People have a right to privacy, but it's where you draw that line. And I think with public figures who present a one public image, and I think if you've got a story which shows another public image, shows that image is false or even a sham, then I think that journalists or editors feel that they have the right to report on that and tell their readers the truth.
Is there any sense that this particular injunction represents a specific or particular threat to press freedom?
I think it's there's a sort of tug of war going on continually between Fleet Street and the sort of rich and famous and the lawyers over where you draw the line on privacy, and I think this is one that could inch that line a little bit one way or the other, you know, towards greater disclosure or greater privacy for the rich and famous.
And are we seeing an increase in the number of privacy injunctions being sought, do you know?
Well, no, that's rather surprising, actually, to see it, because a couple of years ago, we were hearing about them all the time, especially super injunctions, where you couldn't even say that the injunctions happened. But they're rather less common, so this is a little bit of a rarity now.
But broadly, people in Fleet Street, especially at the red top end, do regard this as a threat.
Yeah, very much so, yeah, and I think they feel very strongly that they should be able to tell their readers the truth. Otherwise, we have a sort of saccharine sweet, sort of publicist, confected view of the world about what celebrities are like rather than the actual truth.
Sara, if I can ask you, do you accept what Dominic is saying, that there is, is this fear justified?
It's not justified, because the court in this case did weigh up, as it's bound to do, the rights of the individual to their private life and the right of the press to freedom of expression. And it found in this particular case that there wasn't actually a false image being presented. And the second factor was that this couple had children, and the interests of the children needed to be taken into account.
But when you say there is no false image being presented, is that as if to say that the couple themselves... because it was alleged, wasn't it, that there'd been adultery, including a threesome,
yes,
that the couple's own description in the positive press, if I might call it that, the authorised press, about their relationship encompassed that possibility.
Yes, what the judges did in the Court of Appeal was looked at the press coverage very carefully, and it found that the image that was presented was one of a long-term committed relationship, but it wasn't an exclusive relationship. And in fact, in that case, it was accepted that the claimant would go off and have sexual relationships with others, and that was an accepted part of their open relationship.
So the image they were presenting as a long-term committed loving relationship, that was substantially true.
That was substantially true, and the only thing the public would have with this additional information would be supplemental information. It wouldn't be correcting a false impression.
Is there anything legally that's new about this judgment?
Well, this is, it's a new way of analysing information. It's far more detailed. The other point that was mentioned in the judgment was that you're not obliged to go back over all the comments that have been made on the internet over the years and clean it up. So if you have, say, 10 years ago made a statement and then later you change, you're not under an obligation to go back and clean that up and make sure that the image that's presented now is a correct one.
The other strand of the judgment was about protecting the Article 8, the rights to privacy of the children of the couple.
Yes.
We'll come to that in just a minute if we may. Mark Stevens, a media lawyer, joins us from New York. Mark, what's your reaction to what Sarah has just said?
Well, I think it's a slightly trite analysis, if I may. One of the problems that we have is that effectively what we've got now is a watershed moment, an inflection moment. So the rich and famous with children are now going to be being able to put forward these saccharine images that Dominic Ponsford has referred to, these saccharine images and their primped and preened images by their spin doctors to the public, and the public won't be able to have them gainsaid by the free press in the United Kingdom.
But the court said, didn't it, that it, having looked at the press coverage, that actually the image and the reality were not at odds. In other words, that there was no corrective value in what the Sun proposed to publish.
Well, I think there's a couple of things here. I mean, there's a bit of a history to this and how this has evolved. Celebrities used to say they feared blackmail, often without merit, and they got injunctions, privacy injunctions on the back of that. That no longer works following the case involving John Terry. And now what we're doing is we're seeing children thrown under the bus in order to, or the legal bus, in order to prevent stories coming out. It seems to me not without notice that one of the judges was a family law judge and therefore brought that very perspective of the children. And it seems to me that the knee-jerk reaction of the judiciary is where children are brought into play, that they will be entitled. So, the message that goes out to celebrities is that if you're going to have a menage a trois or an open relationship, make sure you've got children because you'll be able to keep it from the public.
So, Sarah, on the face of it, the couple and various celebrity couples, have their children in the public eye. It's not unusual. Some take a great care to keep them out of the public eye, but others are quite happy to have them in the public eye. Is there something in the argument that having put the children into the public eye, they are then available as weapons, if you like, of last resort?
They're not available as weapons of last resort, but it's an important factor. It depends on the age of the children, it depends on the circumstances of each case. But if you have got children, the court's going to take that into account, and it has done. This isn't new. In 2011, the court in a case called ETK said that children were very important, an important factor when you weigh up the Article 8 rights of the individuals.
But if you're on the wrong end of a press inquiry, as it were, having, for whatever sort of private behaviour that they're inquiring into, and your children are in the public domain, as it were, the more they're in the public domain, is it a better defence at least? I mean, is this an invitation, as Mark I think is suggesting, for celebrities to put their children into the public domain as a last line of defence?
Well, I don't think it is, because I think the courts will look at each case individually, and if you are using your children to that end, I don't think you'll be able to protect yourselves behind them. But the courts will look at the various factors relating to the children, the ages of the children, how it's likely to affect them. In this case, it said that they were likely to find it on the internet and suffer harassment in due course.
So, Mark, let me ask you one other thing, if I may. The impact of the global market in stories of this, broadly this type, once these types of stories get out into the global internet, you raised it there, is there seriously any way that they can be stopped?
No, there's not. And actually, I mean, one of the things that you do as a if you take one of these privacy injunctions in London, is that you paint a target on your back. I was at Columbia University for the last 2 days, and we were having a colloquium with judges and lawyers from around the world where we were looking at this issue, because clearly the European idea of privacy is fairly robust, but there are other parts of the British Commonwealth, Australia, New Zealand, where it's not developed at all, really, and certainly in the United States, they don't really have this concept of privacy because it all falls within the concept of protected speech. So, you know, you could be in the theoretical position of a story like this launching into the media in America.
So, Sarah, in the event that a story like this does go global, is there a point at which a judge in the UK is going to say, well, this injunction is pointless?
It depends on the circumstances, but there have been examples before in Ryan Giggs's case where even after the information came out, injunctions were still granted because privacy protects not just secrets but also intrusion. And so it would be the intruder